Yesterday as well, we spoke about the controversy surrounding a trip to Israel by five opposition party leaders, including IFP leader Mangosuthu Buthelezi, UDM leader Bantu Olomisa, COPE's Monsieur Lakota, Peter Milder from the Freedom Front Plus, and Kenneth Meshre of the ACDP. This has resulted in criticism from the ANC and other opposition parties, including the BDS movement. Now, these opposition leaders have said in a statement that they have completed a five-day study tour of Israel and the Palestinian territories, and that they returned to South Africa confident that they acted in the best interests of South Africa and that they have a fuller perspective of the realities on the ground and the way forward from the various role players. Now, joining us this morning on the line for a discussion on this issue, we have Bantu Olomisa, the leader of the UDM. We have Soraya Dadu from the Media Review Network. And we're still trying to get on the line Monsieur Lakota from COPE. He was also due to join in on the discussion. But let's continue in the interim. Mr. Bantu Olomisa, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Soraya, jazakumullah to you for your time as well. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mr. Olomisa, if we look at the statement that was issued by these various opposition party leaders that made this visit and your recent media statements, I suppose we can summarize it in the following way. You have visited Israel as a guest of the Friends of Israel group. You are willing to visit Israel as a guest of a rival NGO at any time. When you went to Israel, you did not only speak to Israeli authorities, but you spoke to Palestinian authorities as well, to leaders outside government, to academics, to try and get a fuller picture, and you feel that you got back to South Africa with a deeper appreciation of the aspirations of both sides and the obstacles on the road towards peace. And you've been very strong in calling on the South African government to side on the side of peace, to bring the parties to the table in the spirit of Madiba to try and facilitate a peace deal and to crack the whip when it comes to the envoys, Zola Skiwia and Aziz Pahad, and to get them to move quickly in this direction. Now, all of this is on record. It has been mentioned. It has been discussed on different media spaces. But my question this morning, Mr. Olomisa, is a simple one. You visited Palestine as a guest of Yasser Arafat on the instruction of Madiba some years ago in Ramallah. You've now visited Palestine and these territories once again as a guest of the Friends of Israel. In your personal opinion, as a person who was so involved in the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, in your opinion, is Israel an apartheid state?
If Israel is an apartheid state, South Africa, I submit, would have not established diplomatic ties with Israel. I'm talking about South Africa, which is run by the African National Congress. Thank you.
But you are no longer a member of the African National Congress. What's your personal opinion, and what would you like to see be the policy of your party, the UDM? Are you willing, as a man who was so involved in the struggle and who understands apartheid and what is an apartheid state, are you willing to classify Israel as an apartheid state?
I'm not in a position to or willing to do that. But what we have seen in Israel, we went to hospitals, to a hospital, and we saw that the Israelis, the other communities, are treated there equally. We also saw in the streets that you don't see ranks, bus ranks or taxi ranks. This one is for Israelis, this one is for Arabs. We also heard from the minority MPs in the Israel parliament who come from the Arab community, who said they don't have access to land or given passports. And when we ask that question to the powers that be, they didn't give us answers. These are the findings we found, but I'm not yet ready to say this is an apartheid state, especially if the foreign policy of this country is as confused as we know. If it is an apartheid state, why are we there as a country?
Mm-hmm.
Answer that question.
Well, I'm not a representative of government.
Okay.
I'm asking you your perspective as UDM leader.
I've given you the answer. Next question.
Mm. Soraya, your thoughts. Mr. Olomisa is saying that he's not willing to call Israel an apartheid state, and he's given his reasons.
Well, I think perhaps I'd like to hear a little about what Mr. Olomisa thinks about Israel's policies in the occupied West Bank and in occupied East Jerusalem. because I think you've just described what happens within Israel proper as such. But I'd be interested to hear what he observed in terms of detention without trial, different legal systems that apply to Israeli settlers and Palestinians, permits that people need to obtain in order to pass checkpoints, and of course the theft of land through the construction of settlements. So when we speak about Israel practicing apartheid, we shouldn't limit the discussion to what it does within Israel itself, but we should be asking the question, is the Israeli government implementing policies in the West Bank that amount to apartheid, and apartheid as defined under international law, not apartheid in just in terms of the South African situation and racial segregation?
Your response, Mr. Ramisa?
Yes, the representative of Ramallah, is a government, in Ramallah, the representative of Palestinian Authority in Ramallah, in our meeting, told us the hardship the people of Palestine are getting. Second, he told us in no uncertain terms, of which I agree fully with him, that the conflict in that part of the world will never end as long as USA is the sole mediator or sole sponsor of peace. And he went further to say, in order to solve these problems on their side, they would like to see a similar team or a team structured in the same way as those the team which negotiated the deal in Iran currently. I fully have been supporting that part in Parliament to say you will never succeed as long as the sole, you only have one biased person who presides over this. Insofar as the checkpoints, all the other things you have mentioned, madam, we know them even before we went there. This is precisely why Mr. Mandela and others and the whole world has been saying, please, the peace process must come up with results. You can list as many as possible. On the other side, you hear this, the authorities of Palestine now were being bombed by rocket launchers and so on. But the whole conflict of Israel, people have got a right to defend themselves. If the Palestinians are being bombed, they have a right to react, and Palestinians are bombed, they have a right to retaliate. Mm. That's the kind of conflict we know there. But I think what we should be focusing on is the way forward.
Okay. Soraya, your response to what Mr. Lamisa has just said?
Well, firstly, from my own point of view, in saying this, I am probably reflecting the views of a growing number of Palestinians, whether in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, or in East Jerusalem, is that the Palestinian Authority cannot claim to be the sole representative of the Palestinian people. And for many people, Palestinians, particularly those in civil society, many of them regard the Palestinian Authority simply as an extension of the Israeli government, and they will argue that the PA, the Israeli government, has simply outsourced the occupation to the Palestinian Authority. In fact, I personally, when I say the Palestinian Authority, I am reiterating the views of many others, it's actually the Palestinian non-authority, because in areas that are supposedly controlled by the Palestinian Authority, the Israeli government can at any point and its armed forces enter and arrest whomever it wants to. It can do whatever it wants in areas that are supposedly controlled. Mm-hmm. So I think that we perhaps need to start broadening this definition and questioning who are the representatives of the Palestinian people. And I just want to use a quick South African example. If people came to South Africa in the 1980s and they had met homeland leaders, would would we be able to say that they had met black political leaders if they hadn't met members of the liberation movements, if they hadn't met people who were not directly involved in the political process? So just because the PA says that it is involved in negotiations to some extent, that doesn't necessarily make them the only representative of Palestinians.
Okay. We're joined now on the line as well by COPE leader, Monsieur Lakota. Mr. Lakota, thank you.
Can I respond?
Give me a minute, Mr. Lamisa. Mr. Lakota, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, Mr. Lakota, I will go back to Mr. Lamisa in a moment, but I just want to get your perspective. We've already covered the areas that are in your statement, that you went as a guest of the Friends of Israel. You made a point of trying to hear the other side as well, and you're calling on the ANC government to be on the side of peace and to fast-track its efforts to bring peace. Let me ask you, Mr. Lakota, you are a man, again, very involved in the struggle. You are a man who hold the likes of Ahmed Kathrada and Halima Motlanthe in high esteem. They have come back from their visits to Palestine, saying that the suffering that they have seen there in Palestine is worse than the suffering in many ways that South Africans went through during the apartheid era here in South Africa. Do you concur with that statement, and do you also concur with their call that the only way to solve the problem would be to put pressure on the state of Israel?
Well, I hold very firmly to the view and to the orientation that President Mandela taught us. When we were here under apartheid, we understood from him that it was critical on our part to convince our oppressors that there would be no solution in their oppressing us unless there was a negotiation between us and them. The situation that I have seen there is not very dissimilar. It is critical, and I have said that much, in fact, to Dr. Nabil Shah. And we were all saying that as a group of opposition leaders, that there is no price too high to pay to find counterparts on the Israeli side who will commit genuinely, as in our view, Yitzhak Rabin did when he and Yasser Arafat negotiated and signed the Oslo Accords. Now, I don't want to talk about what other people's views have been about it. I talk about what I feel when I've seen that situation.
Hmm.
First of all, there are extremists on both sides of any conflict, including in this one of Palestine and Israel, on both sides. And here in South Africa, it was also like that. There were other people who used to feel that President Mandela was a sellout for talking for peace. Yasser Arafat has, on his side, he had people that felt like that. They are still like that today. But in Israel's side, there's also what is called now the price tag. Extremists, in the similar way that Hamas's position matches together.
All right.
But in the middle is the Palestinian Authority and the government, even though this government of Mr. Netanyahu cannot really be compared to Yitzhak Rabin. Rabin's position, being a soldier that had been in the war, was more reasonable, more accommodating than what this present government is doing.
Okay. Now, Mr. Lakota, the thing is that I know that you guys have come back and you're making a strong call that let's work towards peace, let's move to the way forward. But even when that happened in the South African context, international leaders who wanted peace in South Africa were willing to call the South African government an apartheid state. Are you willing to call the Israeli government an apartheid state, like Ahmed Kathrada has, like others from the struggle, seniors from the struggles have done?
No, sir, let me say this to you. What do you mean that they're an apartheid state? Under apartheid, and under what I've seen there, I don't see the signs there. Somebody was saying to me last week, this was in the darkest days of apartheid. What is there like that? In Israel today, in the Knesset, which is the parliament of Israel, is sitting Jewish people, both supporting the party that is ruling and so on, but they're sitting also in there Palestinians who've always lived in that part with their representative inside the same parliament.
Okay.
They're sitting in there Muslim representatives elected and debating in the same parliament. We would never sit in that assembly, National Assembly we are sitting in today, under apartheid.
Okay.
But however, please, let me just say this to you. We met the leaders of opposition in the who are sitting in the Knesset. They indicated to us their dissatisfactions. For instance, they said that the parliament, the flag of this of Israel does not express us. We are not expressed in it. They said we don't have equal language rights. They said the national anthem does not express us. And they said when it comes to land rights, we don't have equal land rights because of what happens to us, and they gave us instances and so on. Now, those elements are clearly there. But to say this is equal to apartheid is a misnomer. It's exaggerated.
Okay, I get that. Mr. Lemisa, you wanted to respond to what Soraya said early on?
In fact, talking about land, we are now 21 years free. Over 21 years free. You will still find that the Africans in this country don't own land. So that this is a controversy on it, in, on itself. Now let me go back to the the earlier comment by my sister. I respect her personal views because she said those were her personal views. But I can confirm that we were briefed in that, especially in Ramallah, that there's tension between Hamas and as well as the Palestinian authorities. And if the these fellows are going to fight amongst themselves, the bottom line is that they are delaying their freedom. That is the comment I would like to see. I'm confirming that there are tensions. In fact, if you are talking about a two-state solution currently, there are signs that it might be that route is outdated because Hamas might want to have their own share of a state. So they, the guys are divided, they are divided, but they are delaying their freedom.
Okay.
Maulana, can
yes,
you respond to that?
Yes, just to summarize, but both our guests are saying that they understand the problems, but they think to call Israel an apartheid state is an exaggeration, and we shouldn't play the blame game, we should rather focus on the solution and the way forward. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Firstly, in terms of the Hamas-Fatah divide, I think Mr. Holomisa would be quite interested to learn that last year, Hamas and Fatah actually agreed to form a government of national unity. This was in June last year. And Israel, the Israeli government, responded to this move by unilaterally ending peace talks with the Fatah-led PA. Subsequently, the Israeli government then gave the Palestinians, and specifically the PA, an ultimatum. And the words were, you choose peace with Hamas, or you choose peace with us. Now, in that way, they are being asked to choose. And clearly, there are divide and conquer tactics at play here. I think also when we speak about the Israeli government, as Mr. Lakota had made a comparison between Yitzhak Rabin and Benjamin Netanyahu, this is the most right-wing government that has ever been appointed in the history of Israel. And I just want to use a South African analogy here, and I'm speaking to people who are veterans both of the negotiations process and of the liberation struggle. I want to kind of just take us back to 1989, and I want us to imagine if F.W. de Klerk had announced the world that he is entering into a coalition that includes the AWB, and he has, let's say, Eugene Tablange as one of his closest advisors. It has the Conservative Party, and it has the HNP. Now, would the world have believed Mr. de Klerk if he said, I've just entered into this right-wing coalition, but I am very serious and sincere about power sharing, about democracy, and dismantling apartheid? Would these two gentlemen have believed de Klerk? Because essentially, That is what Benjamin Netanyahu is asking the world to believe. He has appointed settlers in his government. He has appointed people who simply do not believe in a Palestinian state. And whilst this delegation might have received assurances that the Israeli government is sincere about negotiations and concessions and withdrawals, its actions, unfortunately, do not convey
okay.
the same message.
Mr. Lakota, a quick question to you.
Please. This lady, I don't know who this lady is, but because I come late.
She's Surya Dadu from the...
I was brought very late into this debate. Let me just say this. There is a world of difference between people who lived in what you call Israel today, who lived there even before 1948. They are not settlers. They are original residents of those territories who refused to move away from those areas because they've always lived there. The Muslims who live there are not settlers. They've always been there. And that's why they have been given full citizen rights. In fact, they have not been given. They've always enjoyed them because they always lived there. There's no comparison between what she's talking about, her Stiftung Nationale Partei and all of that. All of those were Afrikaners and minorities of the Afrikaners. These people have always lived there. In fact, the votes they have, if you look at the seats they have in the Knesset, they've got more seats than the numbers, if you take the census. They've got more seats. They are supported even by many Jews they are voted for, by many what you'd call Jewish people who've always lived with them, who regard them as part and parcel of the area you call Israel. Now, this thing that there's a suggestion, because I listened to this lady talking about the Palestinian Authority as just a puppet of Israel. Is this suggested to us that the leaders of the PLO, that, for instance, Dr. Nabil Eshad, that those are puppets of Israel? Because we know that is one of the biggest collaborators of the late Yasser Arafat. So that is the man who was part of the delegation that signed on the Oslo Accords and that left Camp David.
Okay.
Now, if we are told today that the Palestinian Authority is sellout, who is not sellout in Israel? Please, in the West Bank.
All right.
In the Palestinian Authority.
Okay. Gentlemen,
this is misleading people here who do not know. The government of South Africa, this government of this country, has got an ambassador in the Palestinian Authority. There in Pretoria, there's a representative, an ambassador of the Palestinian Authority. Are we saying this government of South Africa is recognizing puppets?
Okay. The final question to you, Mr. Holomis. Many times this issue has come up about Hamas enjoying greater representation of the Palestinian people. Do you believe, in terms of the spirit of moving forward and brokering peace, that the South African government should allow Hamas high-ranking officials to visit this country, including its leadership, and not listen to groups within the country that don't want Hamas to visit South Africa? Mr. Holomis, yes?
South Africa has got an office, satellite office in Gaza, controlled by South African ambassador who lives in Ramallah. So if there's going to be a round table discussion, I would hope that Square and Aziz Pahad would involve all the people who are involve everybody in this in finding a solution to this conflict. And I repeat that perhaps the two envoys should up the ante a little bit and also educate South Africans in the sense that call all those people who are interested in the solution of Israel who lives in South Africa, NGOs and so on, and sit under one roof and say, how do we take the process forward?
So you believe that Hamas should visit South Africa?
Yes, they can visit. We've got
relationship
now.
Okay. Gentlemen, unfortunately, we've run out of time, and perhaps in another occasion, we'll discuss these things in greater detail. But Mr. Monsieur Lakota, Mr. Banton Amisa, and Surya Dadu, thank you to you all for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
4 minutes past 8, we are running late. Time for the news.